The actor Edo Ross plays a hot-blooded Russian on the HBO drama 6 Feet Under, which also airs here in Canada on TMN on Monday nights at 9 p.m. But he actually hails from Pittsburgh. Surprised? Well, don't be. Oh, Ross's Russian accent even fooled Steven Spielberg, who was a reported fan. Ed is on the line with us right now. Hi, Ed. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Peter?
I'm fine. Thanks for being on the program with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
So you fool Spielberg.
It's amazing, man. It really is. Because, you know what? I get the biggest charge out of it because when I walk down the street, people come up to me and they start to go, they say to me, they go, "Hi, I really like your show." And I look at him and I start to laugh and I go, "So do I, but I'm not Russian." And it's hysterical. It really is.
How did the part come to you?
What I did was I auditioned for it, and it was amazing. I was going to do I was doing a job for a friend of mine named Jason Priestley, and I had a window of about 4 hours. So I asked Jason if I can come in to work late, and he said, yeah. And I went over to Sunset Gower, and I auditioned for Alan Ball. And there were, like, all these Russian guys standing down the line, and I went, oh, my God, you know, how do you compete against the real Russian people? So I just said, well, you know, leave it up to God and just go for it, babe. And that's what I did. I went in, auditioned, left the audition, went to work, and that was like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I got out of there probably around 4:30, quarter to 5, went to work, and at 20 minutes to 8 on the way home, I decided to call my service, and they said I had the job. So it was like, cool.
But this is not the first Russian character you've played. You played a mobster, what was it, in Red Heat?
Yes, next to Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, I played Victor Rosta. Two different characters entirely. The Russian character in Red Heat was this guy who was a drug dealer, a murderer, just a ruthless, brutish kind of a guy. No scruples whatsoever. But the role I'm playing now is so much fun because the guy right now, he's full of life, he's full of love, he comes in, he lights the place up, nothing bothers him, and he just has a ball. And basically what he does is he sees this spark, this little gem in Ruth Fisher, played by Frances Conroy, who is an absolute delight to work with. She's just a doll. She's really a wonderful actress. And she's the matriarch of the Fisher family that run the mortuary. And basically what I do is I'm really the instrument that really propels her into life because she's just withering away there, to coin a phrase.
Well, the one thing I find so fascinating about the show, first of all, it's so well written by Alan Ball, and the creation of that show is amazing. But that aside, I often sit and marvel at how well that entire show is cast.
It is. I mean, the actors and the people on the show are just really good. I mean, they're really wonderful people. And I'll tell you what they attribute that to, and at least I do. And, you know, maybe people on the show will agree with me or not, but this is what I really believe. When you have somebody who is so in control, like an Alan Ball, who is so secure with his own talent, where he says to an actor, go, do it, let your imagination fly, let your child play, just have fun with it. And you go and you fly and you let your character play. You can't beat that. And he allows each and every one of us to do that.
So in that case, what do you feel Edo Ross brings to Nikolai?
Oh, I get his love of life, his absolute. I mean, this guy is so much fun, and just the warmth and the people. The man has a passion about life. And he lives that passion. And I think if you're an artist, I believe that, you know, I believe that I bring that kind of passion and that kind of creativity to the role. I really try to breathe life into Nikolai.
Was the character, as it was initially written, a recurring character that would have played in so many episodes, or is it turned into that?
I think it's turned into that. When we first got on the show, there was another fine actor by the name of Ed Begley Jr., who was Ruth's love interest. He was her hairdresser. And when I came about, it was like, look out, the mad, passionate, sex maniac, wild Russian is here. And that's what happened. And, you know, we've been having a ball ever since.
Now, I mentioned you do hail from Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And you've been working as an actor for quite a while as a young man.
Yes, indeed.
Pittsburgh doesn't strike me as the kind of city where a lot of actors come out.
Oh yeah, what are you kidding me? There's a wonderful actor by the name of Michael Keaton that came out of Pittsburgh.
Of course.
And Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I mean there's a lot of people that came out of it, and some of the great, really great television people. The fellow that created NYPD Blue and Doogie Howser. I'm looking for his name right now.
What I'm getting at though is you see a guy like Ed O'Ross,
mm-hmm.
and people who recognize you on screen, a great character actor, burly kind of guy. You get the impression, rough and tumble kind of growing up. This is not the kind of person who normally turns to be an actor from Pittsburgh.
Well, you know,
did you get a lot of ribbing when you first started acting?
No, not really. Because basically, what we did, the way I really got into it, Peter, was this: we used to have an a cappella group, and we used to sing, and you'd always sing like in corridors or in bathrooms or something to where it can really echo and vibrate. And then from there, I went to the Pittsburgh Playhouse and I started studying, and I started studying acting, and then I came to New York on a Greyhound bus, believe it or not, and I started studying with Stella Adler and Uta Hagen, and then I became protege to Miriam Goldina, who was the first woman art director in a Russian Moscow art theater, and then I started working in at City Center and Lincoln Center in the Young People's Theater, and I just, you know, it's something when you fall in love with literature and when literature moves you, and if you're sensitive enough to pick that up and see what it is and how life really is and how life should be, then you got something happening, I think, as an artist.
You've also, in film, you've worked with some very influential and very important directors, Stanley Kubrick, Francis Ford Coppola,
yes.
Walter Hill, just name a few, Steven Spielberg.
Lilienthal, sure.
Yeah. Must be quite an education just being on these sets.
You know, you learn so much by watching these people, and you know, I remember Yogi Berra has one of those kind of sayings. I think you learn a lot by observation, he says. And you do. Each and every one of these people give you something. Stanley Kubrick always would pay attention to detail. There wasn't anything that his eye couldn't catch. And his brilliance in photography and in shooting and setting up a shot, it's amazing. Walter Hill, with his quick cuts and learning how to delegate authority to people and allowing those people to do their thing, to say, look, I want this shot to be this way or that way, and then say, you know what I'm talking about, set it up, I'm going to go sit down. And a good director's like that. A good director hires competent, good people, and he gets out of their way, and he lets them do their job. Then he comes in, and then he says, okay, fine, let's tweak this, let's do this, let's do this. Boom, let's shoot it and let's go home.
We are talking with Ed O'Ross here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. You mentioned you got your start acting in place at Lincoln Center and the Young People's Theater Company. What is your preference? Do you have a preference for stage or film?
It depends. I have a preference for doing good material. And if that leads to stage, then let's do stage. You know, someone asked me this question, Peter, and it runs along the same lines. What's the difference between a star and a character actor? To me, you're an actor. You're acting. You're working a character. Whether you're a character actor or whether you're a star, you're doing a character. You're acting. That's all there is to it. I can't see any differentiation there.
But when you're a character actor, there are a lot of people who are film fans who will know, oh, I know that man when I see his face. I've seen him in one thing or another.
Yes.
But there are some people who might see you occasionally and actually think you might be one of your characters. I mean, you've played a villain or two in your career.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You must get looks from people who are not quite sure where they know you from.
You know what? It's amazing. You know, police officers here in California, they're so funny. They're really good at what they do, but, you know, they look at me when at a stop sign or something, they'll look and I'll go, And I had a guy pull me over one time because I coasted through a stop sign in Van Nuys in one of the side streets. And he pulled me over and he goes, do I know you? And I go, well, I'm an actor. And he goes, oh, okay. And he had to go back to his car, and I guess he, like, checked the mug files or something, and he goes back and he goes, okay, fine, you can go. And it was like, okay, fine. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do. You do get typecast, and you do get that from people once in a while. You do.
Getting back to 6 Feet Under, which just wrapped up its second season, the one thing about we're never sure of with cable television shows is even though they're renewed, we're never quite sure when they come back. So what's the situation with 6 Feet Under? Because I know, for instance, in some other shows, like The Sopranos, for instance, there's a long lag time between seasons.
Well, I think they made a window for 6 Feet Under to come through in that, and I think that's what that was in the lag time. But I think our season will probably start in September again, and I know that we got picked up for another year. So I think we'll be around for a while. I mean, it's the most unique show on television, and with the brilliant writers that you have and the creative people that are behind this, you can't miss with this show. You really can't, because it really hits on every single aspect of life that people really deal with. And people come up to me and they say, well, you know, this show's about death, and it's really not. It's about life dealing with death. It's a big difference.
So since you've been on the program, what have you learned about flowers?
Oh, man, I know how to... You want me to give you an arrangement, man? Oh, look out, dude. I can arrange some flowers, believe me. Oh, yeah.
What kind of preparation did you do for playing Nikolai?
Well, I had a very good basic foundation because when I was in Red Heat, I studied 72 hours of film on Stalin, and I read extensively in terms of Russia, the Russian people, their culture, their life, and basically I really started to hang out here in L.A. with a lot of Russian people, and I tried to pick up their mannerisms and how their gestures and what they think. And it's so amazing because I was over at my friend's place the other day. His name is Vladimir, and he runs a restaurant called The Terrace in Marina Del Rey and in the Venice area. And he said to me, he says, some of his Russian friends think I'm more Russian than they are. And the reason being is because I picked up their mannerisms. It's just not one thing. It's a whole different culture. And you have to understand one thing. Americans, for the most part, are very, very much laid back. They're trying to be apolitically correct in the whole nine yards. Russians are passionate people. They're very expressive. Their hands are very expressive. Their voices are very expressive. They let you know what they're thinking. There's no hiding with these people. It's right out there, and they let you know exactly what's going on.
Well, I was about to ask if you had managed to fool Russians into believing you're Russian.
Oh, I do. I really do. Because it's so funny when because we have in the Fairfax area here in West Hollywood in California, it's a Jewish populated area, and there's a lot of Russian Jewish people there. And a lot of these people, when I'm shopping, they come up and they start talking to me in Russian. And I look at them and I go, excuse me, I have no clue what you're saying to me, man. I mean, if you want me to give you an orange, here it is, pal, because I don't know what you're talking about. It's funny. It really is funny.
Since there is a little bit of a lag time and there are less episodes when you're doing a cable television show like 6 Feet Under, mm-hmm. does it give you a chance to do other things in your hiatus, either other films or perhaps a play? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, 2 years ago, I did a play called Like an Old Song, which I won the Garland Award for Best Actor. So I'll try and do a play. Right now, what I'm doing now is I'm a co-producer with the Chinese government, and we're doing 13 more episodes. This is our second year that we're doing 26 this year, documentaries on China, and we're calling it The Celestial Empire. And basically what we do is that we go into different areas like Beijing, Kunming, Shanghai, Hong Kong, and a lot of China and in the Hunan Valley. And what we're doing is that we're showing the agriculture, the architecture, the terracotta soldiers that were found by the farmer in the Bangpo village. And what we do is we send a crew over, we film what we need to film in all the different cities, and then we come back home and we build shows out of them, and then the Chinese government okays them. And right now we're trying to get them up on APT and in the public broadcasting companies back here, like PBS.
So you're a very, very busy guy.
I try to keep busy. And you know what? This is the mistake a lot of young actors make. They sit and they wait and they think that's going to happen. You can't do that. You've got to keep working, and you have to understand that acting is a job where you have to work. It's a job. You've got to do your art. You've got to practice your art. You've got to learn everything that you possibly can about your art, whether it's radio, television, voiceover work, whatever the case may be. You have to go in there, roll up your sleeves, and work. It's not, look, you can sit in a rocking chair and wish you were a millionaire, and I guarantee you 40 years from now, if you're still in that rocking chair, you'll still be wishing.
And it's also like physical exercise. You have to work that acting muscle, right?
Absolutely. I think you need to do that in any way you can. I do readings for plays. I just went out, as a matter of fact, I just went out last night, Saturday, and saw the opening of Follies here with Carol Lawrence and Stella Stevens. And, I mean, it was a wonderful cast, man, just a wonderful cast. And you have to absorb those things, man. If you're an artist, what you do is you observe life and you interpret it. And then you put your expression on it and give it back to the people and say, how do you like this?
You work with some very impressive directors, as we mentioned earlier, but as a character actor, you get to support some very fine actors. Who have you enjoyed working with as an actor?
Al Pacino, John Gielgud, Ralph Richardson, Larry Olivier, Bobby Hoskins. One of my very, very dear friends, God rest his soul, who passed away a few years back, was Fred Gwynn. And when he played Frenchie in Dick Tracy, I became very good friends with Freddie. And he's just a doll. He was such a sweet man. And, you know, when you work with these kind of guys, it's heaven. Yeah. And you do have some fun with other people. Like, I worked with Louis Gossett and Malcolm McDowell in a thing called Y2K in Canada. And Malcolm McDowell, he is a stitch. He's so funny. He's so clever. He's so on. And he's like bizarre, but yet at the same time, he's very real. And you get to know him, and you get to, you know, you even steal and learn from those people.
Sounds like you lead a charmed life.
Well, I'm blessed. I really am.
Before I let you go, can I hear a little bit of Nikolai?
I don't know what you're talking about, Peter. I can't talk like that. What's the matter with you? You crazy or something like this? Jeez. All the time they want me to talk like a Russian. I'm not Russian. I'm not Russian. I'm American. What's the matter with you?
Ed, I thank you very, very much for being on the program with us. I look forward to seeing more of you on 6 Feet Under.
Oh, thank you, Peter. I really appreciate it.